we will certainly be keeping you in our prayers. And the Sunday before you leave, you come and we'll pray with you again. 17 years ago, a handful of families came together to plant a new church in Pflugerville. We ended up calling Pflugerville Community Church. And it was going to be a non-denominational church. So when you're a non-denominational church, there's no denominational structure, nobody to tell you, you know, how you're going to practice this or how you're going to do this. There's no, you know, given liturgy and so forth. So the fun part of that, really, for me and for that first group, is that we get to decide kind of how we're going to practice certain things, like how we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. All Christians celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Lord Himself gave us this sacrament. But the New Testament itself really gives us very little, almost no kind of guidance or instruction in how or when, how often, any liturgy which are prescribed forms of worship to how it's supposed to be practiced. So from denomination to denomination and church to church, there's always the Lord's Supper, but it's practiced in different ways, and that's a good thing. And I think that's a great thing. So one of the things we talked about is that we wanted our communion service to be really, really special every time. And we want to be creative with our practice. We didn't want to have this kind of communion that becomes mundane and routine, and we go through the motions, and it becomes a ritual that we kind of forget what it means after a while. We really didn't want that. So we decided one thing we want to do is to make Wednesday night communion dinners our primary practice of the Lord's Supper. So we have 8 Wednesday nights scheduled this year where we come together and we have a big church-wide dinner, and we'll have the next one in the gym. And then after that, we have communion together, and the communion emblems are on every table, and you partake around a table with brothers and sisters that you just had dinner with. And it makes it so much more personal, and we just really love that. And we also recognize the value of celebrating the Lord's Supper on Sundays from time to time. So 4, 5, 6 times a year, whatever we schedule, we do communion on Sunday. And I want these Sundays to be centered on the tables, to be centered on coming to the Lord's table and not so much the message. So the message is shorter, and kids are in, so it's got to be shorter. And that's good. We want to be creative with these Sundays. We want them to have an edge, a challenge. We want them to mean something. I want you to feel something when you come to these tables. I believe Christ is here, and I believe He meets us at this table. And I don't want us to miss Him because we're distracted or we're just plain bored. But then it struck me this week as I was planning for this first one that no amount of creativity, no new way to practice the Lord's Supper, no, that won't matter if you don't know Jesus when you come up here to the tables. No liturgy is effective without a deep, abiding understanding of the gospel and who we are in Christ. If our understanding of the gospel is shallow, your coming to the table is going to be shallow. Our children don't need flashy, entertaining church programs. I mean, that's okay as far as it goes. What they need is to understand the gospel. They need to know Jesus Christ. And they need to know the foundational truths that that's built upon. That's why I'm introducing the New City Catechism. So I invite you, I urge you, I challenge you, I encourage you, for your sake and the sake of your children, let's use this tool to broaden our understanding, our knowledge of the gospel, the foundation of our faith, and build it into the lives of our children. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul writes, "Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor." I mean, the message there is support your teachers, financially. Sort of. But the Greek word for, and you knew there was a Greek word that was going to come, a Greek word for anyone who receives instruction, it's one word, and the word is katechumenos. That's where the word catechism comes from. It's one who is taught. In other words, Paul's talking about a body of Christian doctrine, catechism, that's all that means, that was taught to them by an instructor. The practice of catechesis takes truth deep into our hearts so that we find ourselves thinking biblically. And that's really the goal here. so that we began to think biblically. You know, the world is all out committed to getting you and your children to think worldly, secularly, godlessly. They're all out committed to that. So we must be all out committed to teaching ourselves and our children to think biblically. This New City Catechism is brand new. It's an awesome tool. It's been pared down to 52 Sundays, 52 questions and answers, so that we're going to go through each one throughout the year, so that we will broaden that base of our knowledge of the faith. When death intrudes upon your family, as it inevitably will, and you and your children wonder, what is our only hope in life and death? Don't you want their thinking, your thinking, to go to that glorious answer of the gospel? That we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior Jesus. Don't you want that to be their first thought? Now, they may wrestle with how that all works out, but I want that to be my first thought and my children's first thought. So we want to do this New City Catechism together. It's all online. I've already showed it to you. But a few questions you may have. Let me answer them quickly. Number one, is this a church or a family thing? And the answer is yes. Yes, it is. The discipline, or we're going to introduce the question and the answer each week at church, every Sunday, our call to worship. I don't have to pick a call to worship a single time for the whole year. It's great. So each year, if you want to know what the call to worship each Sunday, just go to the New City Catechism. You look at the next question for that Sunday. We're going to present the question, the answer, and the scripture will be our call to worship every Sunday, the whole year. Our Sunday school teachers will be reinforcing the answers in Sunday school class. Aren't you Sunday school teachers? Yes, yes, you are. And but this, honestly, this is first and foremost a family spiritual educational tool. This won't work. It won't take. It won't stick. It won't really make the kind of impact that it's meant to make unless you make it a part of your family. You've got to do that. You've got to commit to it. You've got to make it not just a resolution, but you've got to persist. You've got to persevere in making it work for your family. Whether it's on Sunday afternoon, go home and eat lunch and go over the question and the answer together and get it down together. Or maybe Sunday evening or Monday evening or Wednesday, whatever works for your family. But it's got to be a family thing and an individual thing, whether you have kids or not. Second question, are you saying we're supposed to memorize answers? Yes. Yes, I am. I'm saying memorize it. The discipline of memorization drives the concepts deeper into the heart and holds us more accountable to master the material to get it. So yes, memorize it. Be creative with it. Make flashcards. Quiz one another. Review, review, review in the car, at breakfast, at bedtime. The idea is to build a biblical mindset. And if the answers aren't secured deep in the heart, the mindset's going to be lost. So yep, I'm saying memorize it, people. I mean, we've already got the 23rd Psalm. It's easy from there, right? You do have the 23rd Psalm, right? Caution, don't get too legalistic about the memorization. Do the best you can. Work at it. It's okay. If you can only get the answer for the children for this year through the whole thing, that's a great start. Besides, 2014, that's going to be our year of review. So you'll be able to go back and we'll start it again and do that. It'll be great. A couple more questions. What if I don't agree with the answer? Well, every answer is basic Christianity. But sometimes I have trouble with some of those basic Christianity answers too. Sometimes I wrestle with it. Sometimes I've got questions. Sometimes I've got doubts. So that's fine. I got no problem with that. If you or someone in your family questions the answer given, let that be a catalyst for discussion. Not condemnation, just discussion. In fact, I would say encourage your kids to express their doubts and their questions. Talk about it. It's okay. This is not a church where questions are not allowed. We're a church where doubts are welcome because we all have them. Let's just get it all out there. But we're going to learn the basic truths and answers of the Bible. And then we'll continue to wrestle with it. I hope that the process actually stimulates discussion. I don't want you just to hammer your kids with it. I want you to talk about it. Finally, will learning the New City Catechism guarantee that my children will remain committed Christians when they grow up? No. Of course not. You can't guarantee that. However, Princeton theologian Archibald Alexander said that the catechism is like firewood in the fireplace. Now, if there's no fire that lights it, it's not going to warm anything. But you've got to have the wood. Without wood, there's nothing to burn. No flame's going to come. So by teaching your kids the catechism, it's like putting wood in the fireplace. And here's what I predict will happen. Some of our children will go off and decide they don't want to be Christians anymore. They want to go their own way, and that was great for Mom and Dad, but I'm not doing that anymore. I want to do my own thing. And if you have taught them this catechism, if they've got those 52 questions and answers deep in their heart, and they know those scriptures that go along with that, they may walk far away from the church, but Christ gives up on no one. And I predict there will come a time that they're going to come back, and those answers are going to resonate in a new way in their hearts. But if you don't teach your children, if they don't know the basics of the faith, if their understanding of the gospel is this deep, there's nothing to come back to for them. So teach them. Whether they're in college, or high school, or middle school, or grade school, or they're three, teach them. Begin teaching them now the best that you can. You've got to be committed to it. It's got to be week after week, and we're going to do it together. One thing I learned about resolutions I make on my own don't tend to work that well. I'm just not very disciplined. But resolutions I make with a partner tend to stick. We're partners in this. We're going to do this together. Question 47 of the New City Catechism. What is the Lord's Supper? The answer: Christ commanded all Christians to eat bread and to drink from the cup in thankful remembrance of him and his death. That's the answer the children learn. There's a longer answer for the adults that talks about Christ meeting us at the table. It's his presence with us now and the future hope of Christ. The scripture that goes along with that is 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This table is a reminder that Christ gave himself utterly, totally, completely to us. So as Tim Keller said in that little video, he gave himself wholly to us. So we must give ourselves wholly to him. This table is the Lord's table. It's not just for Pflugerville Community Church members. If you're a believer in Christ as Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come. And this is the process that we use. You go to the table when you're ready. The worship team's going to come and they'll play. You just meditate for a few minutes, and when there's space, you come. All the tables are the same. You take the bread yourself, bless it, partake, take the cup, bless it, drink, and put the cups in the baskets on the table, the used cups. Okay, and then we will have our elders on the sides. And after you partake, if you would like, go to them and they will bless you. And if you have a particular prayer request, you got to keep it really short because a lot of people, but you can say, "Pray for my family because this." And we will do that. Where's my elders coming over here? Let me pray. The music will begin. You come to the tables when you're ready. We don't go in any particular order. Partake, go for your blessing, and then return to your seat, and we'll close with worship together. Lord God Almighty, the gospel's good. It's good news. Help us to learn it. I pray that our understanding of the gospel will go deeper and deeper this year. I pray that you give us strength to be faithful in teaching our children. I pray, Lord God, that as we come to the table today, we would not only remember your total sacrifice for us and the forgiveness of sin that we have through your sacrifice, but that we would also celebrate your presence. You meet us at the table. All right, you have a homework assignment. Wait, you know what that is, don't you? There you go. It's right there. Right there. Magically, it's going to appear. There it is. NewCityCatechism.com. So start tonight or this afternoon. Make it fun. Make it a great way to refurbish your own faith and deepen it and broaden it and the faith of your children. So be persistent. Persevere. You can do it. And there's blessings along the way. Here's the blessing for today. May you know our only hope in life and death, that we belong, both body and soul, to God and Jesus our Savior. Amen.